Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would go to, I believe we'll start this morning in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Now, I just want to reinforce what Joseph just said. You know, listen, don't forget the Christmas party this Friday night. We're going to have fun. Please come. If you want to bring a guest, that's fine. I want you to, you don't want to miss it. I mean, don't say, oh, later. Because I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. Just take my word for it. You don't want to miss it. So come on. Enjoy yourselves. It'll be great food, great time. We'll have fun and really enjoy that. And then also next Sunday, then Brother Ivan will be here preaching, and you're not going to want to miss that. We've got some great. I don't know if I told y'all this. I know I did on Wednesday night, but I don't know if I told y'all the Sunday morning crowd. But we had a problem where one of our girls that we got when she was about. Well, she came into the orphanage in 96, 95, 96. And so I don't know, I can't even add this morning, I'm sorry, but she's 15 now, or 16. So however old she was, when she came in, she was given to us by the state, and her father had been sexually abusing her all of her life. And anyway, long story short, he got put in prison because of this. And then found a loophole where there was a paperwork that was done wrong. And so they came back on us, and actually the guy got out of prison, and then he was demanding his daughter back. And there was no way. I'd already told Brother Ivan, I said, I'm sorry. Give me the guy's picture. Tell me where his address is. He ain't touching that girl. I said, that ain't going to happen. I don't, you know, it just cannot happen. So we had to have a big court case. You know, things like this, you know, take place a lot when we have to fight for the kids' rights. But we had to get lawyers. We had to go in a big court battle. And she got up there and stood up there and said, you know, that man has abused me all my life. He abused my sister all my life. There's no way I'm going back in that household, and just whatever. And the judge just basically threw the case out of court. But the problem is, in the way the Guatemalan, whatever you call it, the legal system works. He basically is holding an open case against us to that he could come back and try to sue us or something like that. And so we're having to go and, you know, prepare and take care of all these things like this. But anyway, the glory was is he ain't ever getting those kids back. So praise God for that. And he messed around too much, he's going to get himself in some real trouble. So praise God. So great victory over that. Ivan called me and told me that yesterday because I've really been praying about that. I know some of y'all have just really, because that's, just, I mean, and what the thing is this little girl, we're not supposed to have favorites. We're supposed to love all the orphans the same, but this little girl's always been my favorite. She just, I mean, should get your heart. But anyway, praise God for that. Great deliverance on that. So anyway, we have some more good stories. Oh, the other good story was this. You know, the money we took about a month ago up and for the roof to get put on. Well, this week, there's one guy that I don't get along with well that comes on trips to work at the orphanage. It's because he's from Pennsylvania. And God bless him. He is the greatest worker. This guy is an awesome worker. He's a concrete guy and a welder. But this guy's the most difficult person you've ever in your life been around. And so Texas and Pennsylvania just don't get along too good. And so it's been this way forever, and we've kind of drawn our lines, and I just say, man, I cannot work with the guy. He's just abusive as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, God bless him. If God didn't send him to the orphanage and welded up all the trusses and got the trusses on the big building and got the purlin up, and now we're waiting to get the tin on. And so they're getting us the prices on the tin. It's probably going to be around $10,000, and we have the tin on, and praise God, another whole huge section will be finished. And so that's what we're just, I told Brother Ivan, I said, just count on it. When you get here, we're going to have the money for you and everything's going to be there, because bless God, I want to see that thing. That's a dream I've been just wanting to get it's an eyesore to me. I've just told Ivan I can't take it anymore. We got to finish it. So anyway, praise God. And of everybody, you know, my Yankee buddy finishes it for me. So praise God. God does work in mysterious ways. And if you're listening on this, Mike, I love you. God bless you. Revelation chapter 1. Okay, we've been preaching about soldiers and sons, and today I'm talking about servants. And I don't want to review because I'm trying to possibly finish this today, but I doubt I will. But we've talked about soldiers and that God has called each and every one of us to be a soldier, that you are to be militant in your thinking towards your life and your family and those around you and your everything that God has put your hand in charge of. Okay? That's the way you're supposed to be. Now I've already been over that. You'll have to go back and watch it on the computer. But last week we talked about sons and about how you are a son of God. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a son of God. You were entered into the family. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are a son of God. You are not the son of God. You are a son of God. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, hello, son. And so, as a son of God, you have rights and privileges. And we went over those and we talked about those. And so today, I want to talk about the third aspect of what we've been talking about. Because you're a soldier, you're a son, but you're also a servant. You're a servant. Now, most of us don't like the word servant. We don't want to talk about servants because most of us are independent. And that's why we're from the Lone Star State and we live out in the country like we do. It's because we're independent. We're strong-headed, pioneering people. And so we want to just think of ourselves as, well, in charge. Look at the person beside you and say, he can't be talking about you. That's our problem. It's a positive thing and a negative. It's a positive thing to be strong and to be able to be independent and to stand and to do that can be a good thing. But taken too far, it can be a bad thing because you don't understand how to be a servant. You don't understand what it means to take your gifts and your tools and your abilities and then put those to use for somebody else in only the capacity as you're just giving it to them to serve. Hello? It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, he says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever. It says he made you to be kings and priests. Hello? The blood of Jesus, this communion we just took this morning, and it washed you and cleansed you of your sins, and God used that to make you kings and priests. And you may say, well, listen, I ain't a king, I ain't ruling over nothing. No, you are. You're a king over your dominion, over your household, over whatever your hands are put to. You're the one that he put in charge. The Bible says that when God made the earth and heaven and earth and created all of that he gave man dominion on this earth. Right? He gave you dominion. He gave you dominion on this earth. He gave you dominion over your household, over everything that's there. He didn't give you dominion over my life or over somebody else's life. You can't violate somebody's free will, but God gave you dominion over what is yours and what's going on in your life. Hello? And he called you to rule over it as a king would rule over a kingdom. Now, the problem is most like our relationship, like I talked about last week, if your relationship's not right with your earthly father, it's hard to have your relationship right with your heavenly father. And if you've only been ruled by a foul king, you don't understand how to rule as a king. The whole principle of everything, even the Constitution, our own Constitution in this United States of America, is our president and our Congress is supposed to be serving the people. Wow, have they got that wrong. They miss that one big time. But they're supposed to be servants. And the problem is they don't know how to be servants because people always want to serve themselves. Hello? Come on. How many of you ever been to a restaurant and you got a bad waiter or waitress and you just got bad service, right? Hello? You got bad service. You're mad. Yeah, my food was right. I didn't bring it out right. I didn't do this right. But how many times have you ever been to a place where you were the servant and you saw how people treated you? See, when the shoe's on the other foot, you look at things differently. Oh, they're so rude. They're horrible. They're terrible. But if it's the shoe's on your foot and you're sitting at the table, you're like, this is the sorriest way to ever had. God, I can't believe that. What's the matter with them? God. Woohoo! It's because, see, we all want to be served. We don't want to be servants. Jesus said, I came to this earth to be a servant. I came to this earth to die as a servant for humanity. And we don't like it, but I'm telling you, there is victory in learning what I'm trying to teach you this morning. If I don't finish this next week, if you can grab hold of it, if you can get hold of it, it will be so victorious for you to rise up in the morning and really understand the revelation of what I'm trying to teach you so that you can rise up and you can say, Jesus, I'm here today to serve you. Because the problem is that we serve our jobs. Now, I'm not talking about being a bad worker, but I'm telling you, you live for your job. You live for money. You live for joy. You live for enjoyment. I'm just preaching so good, I know y'all just want to jump up and dance and say, hurry, come on, pastor, praise that some more. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm trying to help you here this morning. I'm trying to tell you about the joy and the freedom. Now, y'all have to understand something. I love Brother Ivan with all of my heart. He and I are like brothers, okay? But he's a very strong person. He's a very, very, I'm not talking about like domineering person. I'm talking about he has a strong general's gifting in his life. I'm talking about his relationship between him and God, who he is in God, all right? I'm not talking about earthly personalities. I'm talking about who he is in God. God's set a big mandate on this man's shoulders to go forth and do everything he's doing. And I know it, and I recognize it. And I saw it the first time I met him, and I knew years ago that God had divinely appointed him here for a reason and a purpose. See, the problem is we always want to be servants to those people or those things that we want to serve. But it's hard for us sometimes when God asks us to serve something that we don't necessarily always like. And so when I knew this relationship was of God, I knew that God had put Brother Ivan in my life to teach me, to help me, to show me, to help in life. I knew that this was a part of what he had done. I knew right off the bat that I had to serve him. I knew that I had to take a servant's position to him. Now, that didn't mean I just never gave my opinion about anything or never said anything or never, you know, anything. But I knew that that's how the relationship had to be. I knew that I had to look at him and honor him and serve him and say, okay, well, how do you want to do this? And then go do it. Use my giftings, my tools, what I have in my toolbox and let him have use of it. You see what I'm saying? Didn't mean he ruled my life or whatever. He's never tried to change me as a person. He tried to help me sometimes when I'm going to murder and kill and things like that, you know. But and this may be totally, completely foreign concept to you, but you got to grab this. You got to understand about servanthood. In doing that, I have been so blessed. I have had great joy. My family is blessed. We are blessed because I got myself in the proper alignment and position so that I could be a servant. And then that's why the ministry is blessed. And that's why we're blessed. That's why the water hole's blessed. That's why I love to rescue orphans. That's why we go do things that we do and everything works and everything's proper. And there's blessing and blessing and blessing because I serve. That's all I do is serve. He calls me up. He says, we need to do something. I said, what do you want to do? How do you want to get there? Now, over the years, things have come about. Our relationship is like brothers. I sit on the ministry board. I'm there. I see everything going on. He asks my opinion. I give him my opinion, but I'm still the servant. If I think we should do this and he thinks we should do that, I do what he wants to do. Now, that relationship is maybe foreign to you. You may not understand that because you're saying, no, I'm living in this world for myself. But I want to tell you something. God has called each and every one of us to be servants to him. Amen? And when you understand that, and you understand the principle and the concept of being a servant, as long as you know what you're doing is what God has directed you, there's great joy and peace in it. Hello? This church, if this is your home church, this is where you're really sold out. You're locked in here. And I'll show you something else about in just a minute about that. And this is where you want to serve. This is what you want to do. I'm going to tell you something. Then hell couldn't pry you up out of the seat. Right? Because this is where you serve. This is where you come. This is where you're a part. Right? That's what it's all about. You want to make the Christmas party great. You want to serve with the children's church. You want to serve with the youth. You want to bake cookies. You want to do whatever because it's a part of what you're locked into. And if what you're locked into is blessed, then you're blessed. Hello? Isn't that the way it works? Like if you're a waitress in the natural or a waiter in the natural and you don't like to serve, wow, how miserable you must be. Now, I've been in a few restaurants that I'm pretty sure that that person that was waiting on me felt that way too. You know, it's like, here's your plate. What else do you want? What do you want? I ain't going to, you know. You're out of place. You should not be in that position if you don't want to serve. But let me ask you something. If you're drilling a well, if you're welding a barn, if you're building a road, if you're driving nails, if you're making birdhouses, aren't you doing that as a service for somebody? So then aren't you actually being their servant, even though they're paying you to do it? Right? Oh, wait a minute. If you're working for a company, and they're paying you. See, our mentality's wrong. Oh, they're paying me for a service, you know. Now, wait a minute. I thought you were serving them. You see, folks, we've lost the understanding of servanthood. We've lost it in America. We've lost the understanding of servanthood because everybody's wanting to be independent and no one is wanting to do anything that they can't have the final say-so on and they want it to go their way. But I hate to tell you, that ain't never going to happen. I've been married to my wife for 32 years. Man, we love each other, sleep in the same bed together. But I want to tell you something, man, she didn't do everything the way I want her to. There ain't no perfect world. You're going to find that everything just lines up and everything gets done the way you want it to get done. And the reason why we have, not we, but a reason why humans have people have fights and problems and all that is because everybody wants it done their way. Look what's going on in America right now. Everybody wants it. The Republicans want it their way. The Democrats want it their way. And ain't nobody getting nothing done. President, he's all on vacation. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody wants to be a servant. But in the kingdom of God, if we understand what servants are, and we understand how to operate as a servant and what God is really requiring. Folks, I'm going to tell y'all something. Listen to me. Christianity has gotten very, very, very cheap. People have gone out there and just confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart and said, oh, yeah, Jesus, I'm saved. Go out there and give them a letter and say, ha, ha, you made an A. Here you go. And bless God. Then they just say they're in. But nobody really understood and read the fine line that Jesus said, in order for you to have eternal life, I want your life. Rut-row. Y'all may not have read the bottom line, but it does say that. Jesus says, you give me your brokenness, you give me your life, I'll take it, I'll wash it, I'll cleanse it in the blood, I'll make you whole, but you're mine. But we don't want to do that because, see, we're independent, strong. We want to tell Jesus. We want to basically tell God how to run the kingdom. It's why Christians have such a hard time with prayer and write books like When God Says No and all these kind of crazy things like that. Because God does say no to your stupid prayers. Excuse me, but that's the truth. Remember I told you I found stupid in the Bible in the Good News Translation? It's a word. Can't get mad at me all that. It's in the Bible. Found it. Got to read the right translation. Do you see what I'm talking about? God requires us. See, we say we're going to be soldiers. Yeah, we want to be a soldier. Give me a gun. I'll shoot something. Sons? Oh, yes. Praise God. I'm a son. Give me the ring. Yes. Oh, and now you need to be a servant. We're like, what does that cost me? Church, it costs you everything. But you get everything. The Bible says God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Folks, it's not like it's a torturous thing that you can't, oh my God, he's going to ask you to do something you don't want to. Listen, I have been asked by God when I gave him my heart to do things that I did not want to do. But I want to tell you something. As I walk through it, I've been the better man, and I have grown, and I've known him better, and it was worth every bit of it, and I'm glad I did it. He didn't take anything from me. He gave me more. If you're a waitress or a waiter and you're scared to go out and wait on the table because they may not give you a tip, because then you're going to be discouraged if you didn't get a tip, you're in the wrong boat, man. I was at a place last week, and it was the best steak I'd ever eaten in my life. I could not believe that it was cooked this way. And I had my doubts about it starting out, and the waiter talked me into it, and I told him, you better be right. I like meat. I like my steak. Better be good. And, man, it was the best steak I ever put in my mouth. It just melted in my mouth. I could not believe it. And I told him, I said, would you please tell the cook that was the best steak I've ever eaten in my life. It was cooked perfect. Thank you. And the guy that stood there for a minute, he says, I will tell him. He said, nobody ever tells him that. And I thought, well, how can you stand back there and keep cooking a steak if you don't ever know it's good? You know what I mean? You got to have some feedback. And so what I'm saying is, I'm trying to get you this morning to understand the feedback you're going to get is good. God's going to be pleased with you. He is pleased with you, and he's going to be more pleased with you as you understand what I'm talking to about servanthood. He's called you to be kings. He's called you to be priests. You with me? Okay, I'm gonna turn my message around, so you have to give me a little bit to get my thinking straight. Because the two parts about being a king and being a priest, there's a little difference in both of them. They're both servants, but there's a little difference. But he's called you to be kings and priests. Everybody say kings and priests. Okay, priest is the ministry side, and kings is the administration and finance side. Okay? Now let me just say a few things to you. No, let me go here. Let me send you to a scripture here. Like I said, just give me a second. I'm preaching backwards. Go, if you would, go to the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Praise God. I love it when God messes up my sermon. I had it so outlined, so nice. Exodus, chapter 21, you find the Ten Commandments. Starting verse 1 through 6 is what I want to read. It says, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, now I'm in the wrong one. No, I know, I'm reading the wrong scripture here. Thank you. Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words saying, how about that? I did it twice. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself carved imagery of the likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is it on the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of your fathers upon your children to the third and the fourth generation and those who hate me. But you show mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servants, nor your female servants, nor your cattle, nor your strangers who are within your gates. For the sixth day the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all therein, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Isn't it interesting here that God admits that he's a jealous God? And usually we read the word jealous or think about the word jealous, we look at it in a negative sense. Oh, well, he's just jealous of me. Oh, he's just jealous of what I got. Y'all with me? Here God says, I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous for you and your worship. I want you. I don't like it. God's saying it right here. He said, I don't like it when you're spending time somewhere else. I don't like it when your mind and your thoughts and all of you are over there at that. I'm jealous for your time. I want you. It says he has more thoughts of you than the sands of the sea, right? So God is thinking about you a lot, and he's jealous for you, and he's jealous for your time. And if we get up in the mornings and all of our day and all of our time is only thought about what we're going to go do to earn income, which we need income. I'm not preaching against that, but I'm saying if everything we're doing is about how we're going to earn income, then I want to tell you something. Your time is not being spent with God, and your time is being spent on you, and you're not being a servant. You're wanting God to serve you. There's nothing wrong with earning income. Your business, listen, I want your businesses to prosper. I want you to prosper. I want you to get millions of dollars. And I want you to tithe on it. I want you to give offerings, and I want you to give it into here so we can go do the work of the ministry. It's the way it works. I don't want a church that's so poor we can't, you know, we can't even buy dirt. I want a church that's rich. I want you guys to be prosperous. I need you guys to get hold of what I'm preaching here. I need y'all to become the most prosperous, successful people in the world, but you will not have success until we dominate our servanthood. Because if you let money rule your life, or your job rule your life, or your status that you're trying to get to in life rule you, I'm telling you, you're always going to be defeated, because God's called us to be servants to him. He's a jealous God, and he wants our time. So how do we do it? How do we apply this to our life? I want to tell you what we do. You go to work, and you go do your business, but the whole time you have to be talking to God about saying, Lord, now I thank you for blessing my business. I thank you, Lord, that what we're doing here, this is what you're doing. You have to be thinking about, Lord, I thank you that you're going to prosper me in this job so I can give a big offering. I can rescue some more orphans. Lord, you're prospering me over here because we're going to go do this, and you're going to send me out to go do that, and we're going to go reach these people, and we're going to do that. Folks, I'm telling you right here with this group of people that I see here this morning, we can change the world if we grab hold of this, what I'm preaching. If we grab hold and make God first in our life and we serve him with whatever he wants us to do. Listen to me. You cannot hear this statement. Listen to me out there that's watching over the internet. You cannot give God money that he will not replace back to you 100-fold. Prosper your business, bless your household till you have such an abundance you don't know what to do with it if God is in charge to start out with. If you're giving to get, you'll never get anything. But if you're living to give, you can walk in the most amazing prosperity you have ever seen in your life. And I want to tell you something, God wants you blessed. Oh yeah, God wants me to have a new pair of pants. No, God wants you to have so many pairs of pants you can't make a choice. Oh, so that would just be too much. That would be terrible. That would just be a spendthrift. You got poverty thinking. Take them and give them all away, so you can get some more. Excuse me. You see, you got to understand something. I learned from a man who doesn't wear a tie. I learned one of the principles that God told me was about giving. I learned through tithes. Not the tithe, a necktie. This person's husband passed away, and they brought me his neckties and said, you know, you're in the ministry, you're doing, and we want to give you these neckties. And it was a ring of ties. I mean, it was 50 ties. I don't even like, I'd never wear. So I was kind of like, wow, thanks. And so I started giving them away. And so every time I found somebody, I said, hey, man, you need this tie. Hey, give tie. Man, I was giving ties away, giving ties away. Giving them away, giving them away, giving them away. And then people just kept giving me more ties. And then my 50 went to 100. I have 100. I don't want 100 ties. I'm giving them away. I'm trying to get rid of them. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm sewing ties, and ties are just coming back. And I said, Lord, is this like a curse? You want me to wear a tie? This is what I was thinking. I said, it's a curse. I don't want to wear a tie. You're killing me. God, don't send me no more ties. And he's like, you don't understand, Robert. You're operating in a principle. You're trying to get rid of it. You're giving it away, and it's coming back to you. I said, are you serious? He said, quit giving them. Watch, it won't, no, that'll come back. So I quit giving them. I quit giving them. I didn't give any ties out. And all of a sudden, the tie water hole just dried up. I said, glory to God. So I still had all these ties, and I didn't want them. So I said, man, I got to do something about this. So I started selling them. I'd tell somebody, give me a nickel, and I'll give you five ties. Because see, now I'm just operating in secular business, and I'm a bad businessman like that. So I give them five ties. You know, they're expensive ties, $20 a piece, you know, $30 a piece ties, big, you know, expensive ties. I'm giving away five for a nickel. Selling them, man. I ain't getting no more ties. I finally got it all the way down. I mean, I have not given a tie away. Man, I'm down to like four. I'm down to four, and that's just for the different weddings that I might have to be in. And that's it. That's all I got. So the Lord began to teach me. He said, well, it's the same thing with money. As long as money doesn't dominate your life, the same thing happens with finances. But see, the ties I got, it was easy to give away. But when it came to dollars, it was a different situation because you worked for your money. You earned it. The problem is you have to get servanthood in the right place. When you understand that God's called you to be a servant in life, then all of a sudden you're serving Him with whatever resources you have, whether it's your time, it's your money, it's your car, it's your ties, it's your shirt, it's your pants, it's your shoes, it's your whatever. You start doing that, folks, I want to tell you something. Then all of a sudden, you're being a servant. You're existing on this earth to serve God Almighty in whatever capacity He has you. And if that day you're welding on a barn, then bless God, you're welding for Jesus. If you're going to work that day, you're a waitress, and bless God, you're serving for Jesus. You're not serving for that person. You're serving for Jesus. What you're doing for the Lord. You're not doing it for them. Then all of a sudden, they can't hurt your feelings and your emotions anymore because you ain't working for them. You're working for Him. And when you work for Him, you get blessed. It's a big difference. It's a change of mentality. Let me give you one more scripture here. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth and the rust destroy, and where the thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there's neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, mammon meaning money. You need money. You need lots of money. You need to get millions of dollars. Because you need to give it to me so I can go preach. Bottom line, man, I'm not ashamed for it. We need to rescue more orphans. We need to build more buildings. We need to carry the gospel out. I want to tell you something. God is stirring some things in me and my wife, and I'm not mentioning it to anybody. I'm just about next year and about things about the gifts and the callings that God has given us and placed in us, and there's some areas he wants to use it, and I need dollars. Bottom line, I don't want your money. I want God's money. I want God to use you. I want God to make you filthy rich, so you got to give it away. I want the banks to be calling you and say, listen, you got to do something. Frankie, you got too much money in your account. You can't have this much money in your account. You need more. You got to do something with it. That's what I'm believing for every one of y'all. I'm believing for you to say, run to me with dollars and baskets and pour it out and say, listen, it's killing me. I don't know what to do with it. Here, take it. I say, thank you, Jesus. You think I'm crazy? I'm telling you, I am. I'm nuts for Jesus. Everybody's always so scared to talk about money because they always think money's going to, they're trying to get. I don't want your money. I want God to use you to give me his money. I want you to gather it from the four winds of heaven so that you've got such an abundance of it. I don't want to take your food. I don't want to take what's in your hand. I don't want to take what you earned that week and just, God, we're not going to make it through. No, I want you to have such a super abundance that you don't know what to do, that you're freaked out saying, oh, my God, I got too much money. I want to have armed guards take up the offering, you know? I want to have an armored truck outside to have to put it in. I'm talking about rocking this world for Jesus. I'm talking about being able to go out and preach and hire preachers and get preachers everywhere and just go out and just attack everything. But as long as the world's sitting there saying, oh, I only earned so much this week and I don't know if we're going to give it, man, this going, man, no, ma'am, don't go. Oh, God, preachers always after our money. I am. I want God to use you. I want y'all to all be driving big Cadillacs, smoking big cigars. No, no, listen. As a kid, you got to understand this. As a kid, you got to understand where I came from, you know? I mean, I came from a ranching family. And I can always remember as a young boy, man, I'm talking 6, 7, 8, really impressionable years, going to the auction ring with my father. And being there where all these guys were with their big Stetsons on, you know, fully kicked out, full big, huge brims, all rolled up with their pants tucked in their boots, with these fancy boots on, the big old cigar in their mouth. And to me, that was wealth. Those people had arrived, you know. They may have just dressed like that, I don't know. But to me, that was the epitome of victory and success when you got to the place where that's how you looked, you know. So I always joke with my wife. I'm saying, you know, man, I'm telling you what, and, you know, this is it. And I said, well, you got to get, I'm going to start wearing my pants and my boots here pretty soon, you know. Anyway, I'm off now. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you blessed, but you're never going to get blessed. You're never going to walk in the principles of the kingdom until you understand servanthood. And you understand what it means to be a servant. You understand what it means to go to your job saying, Lord, I'm here today working this job, but I know you want better for me than this. I know you want to prosper me more than this. I'm not locked in and my finances are not set. My life is open book to you, Lord, because I'm serving you. So give me a dream tonight about how to make a plow. It may not mean anything to most of y'all, but the Krauss offset plow was one of the first plows that came in that was very successful. The man dreamed it at night because he was a servant of God. He dreamed it in a dream at night. He built the plow. He put the plow into position. And then things started going and started making, he started prospering. He lived on 10% of the income that he made and gave 90% away. All from a dream at night that God gave this old dirt farmer up in the plains on how to make an offset plow. So have a God dream for me. Come up with something. Do it. Because we need the income, because that's the way God works. Your servants, he blesses you. You give it into the kingdom. The kingdom is advanced then. That's the way it works, folks. There's no other way. God can't drop money out of heaven. He can't chip off a piece of gold and just drop it out of heaven. It falls out there in the churchyard and I pick it up and then we're all set. That ain't the way it happens. It happens because we understand we're servants and then we make ourselves available to God and say, Lord, money doesn't rule our lives. You rule our lives. We're serving you. So when the money comes flowing through, bless God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just being your servant. Folks, listen to you. You got to dream bigger than what you're dreaming. You got to believe. What happens is the enemy wants us to focus on earning an income and the problems in life that we have. Listen to me. We all have problems. Jesus had problems. Did you know that? They tried to throw him off of a hill and kill him. They constantly were harassing him. They constantly were trying to get things on him, to get some dirt on him. Just throwing something out here. You know what we see going on in the news media when they find some dirt on some politician and they bring it up to the front and they try to do all that? It's the same spirit they did to Jesus. Same thing. Which eventually they got him stirred up enough that they killed him. It's the same demonic spirit that wants to expose the sins of everybody else but never wants to look on the inside of them at their own sins. Just a little tidbit there. He got that one for free this morning. That we're servants. And as long as the enemy can keep you focused on your problems and your income, then you're not thinking about being a servant. Can you imagine being a waitress waiting on a table who is overwhelmed by their own situations in life that they can't even think about what did that person want? So they come up and they're all, you know, out of sorts and they say, now what was it you wanted? Glass of water. Oh, yeah, okay, okay. Right, let me get that for you. But then they go off and they're all. That's what we're doing to the Lord. We're his servant. We're waiting on him. We're serving him. We're working for him, doing his business. But yet we're so caught up and preoccupied with the incomes we're trying to earn and the problems we have in our own lives. And I'm telling you, when you get servanthood right, then you get into being the servanthood and you just be the best servant you can be. The rest of the stuff starts to line up. All of a sudden, big tips start flying. Everybody say, come on, big tips. How many of y'all in here, you're a waiter or waitress? Raise your hand. Okay, no. Now, right now, right now. Raise your hand if you are. Come on, y'all. Do it. Put it up. Put your hands up. I want to see them up high. Come on, put them up. Why are y'all so timid? How are you going to get a tip? I'm going to play the blessing of heaven upon you right now. Raise your hands up. Put them up there. There's one, please, God. Put them up there. Put them up there. Okay, here we go now. Listen to me. You girls that are guys and whoever's all out here got your hands raised up and say, I want to pray the blessing of God. Lord, I declare this week that they're going to see supernatural, unbelievable, miraculous servanthood and tips coming their way. I declare they're going to get the biggest tip they ever got in their life. Miracles upon them, Lord, this week in Jesus' name. Now, you better grab hold of it. So you better get in your position. You're going to serve. And you were saying, thank you, Lord, for a big tip. I'm talking $100 tips. I guess that's pretty easy nowadays. Lord, you get a big enough party, you can be even bigger than that. 200, 300, 400, 500. What is the largest tip you can believe for? I told the Wednesday night crowd, I was challenged myself that it's real fun. It's if my son comes up and asks me for money, I always say, yeah. Oh, what do you need? How much? And then what's it for? But how it's funny to me that if I go to God, I always have to justify what I'm asking for. Caught myself. See, you're not going to get a bigger tip than you can believe for. If your self-worth is of no value, oh, this is good. Oh, this is good. If your self-worth is of no value, then no matter how much you serve, it's going to come off onto the person, and it's not going to be there. The tip's not going to be there. I don't know if y'all are seeing this as I'm seeing this. Like, I'm seeing like a movie playing off of my head as I'm saying this. Just if we could grab this concept, listen to me. As you're going to your job and you're serving and you're working and you're being the best that you can be at what you do, you tell me God's not going to reward that? When you're serving Him, that He's not going to reward it? When God is first, not money's first, God's first? So no matter what your job is, it doesn't make any difference. I'm just using waitresses or waiters this morning because it's something that you obviously do and that you get a tip. Are y'all with me? Wow. Imagine how God wants to bless you when you're just serving Him. So your job is not your job that you're using to earn income. Your job is what you're doing as a servant to God. Just happens to be the field you're in. So then all of a sudden, then Holy Spirit starts to prick you and say something about what He wants you to do with that finances, you know, and you need to believe God for a rescue of another orphan. You've been given a dollar a day to the water hole, but you need to up it to two, you need to up it to five, you need to up it to ten. You need to stretch yourself, you need to believe God for a little more. He's your servant. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm a servant. Amen? I didn't finish the message. I'll pick it up, finish the rest of it after Brother Ivan's here. But listen to me. I'm preaching good this morning. I'm telling you, man, it's good stuff. You got to get it. You got to get it. You got to get it in your heart. Got to get it in your heart. Got to get it in your heart. Amen? Got to get it in your heart. Got to be a servant. So let's do this. Everybody stand to your feet, if you would. And just to give everybody a little privacy around you, just bow your head or close your eyes. I just want to ask you this morning, how many of you this message is pricking your heart? You just lift your hand up and show me if I'm hitting some pay dirt. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. You can just put it back down. I just want to know if I'm preaching good or if I've lost it. If I hit home, and obviously we did. The church, then let me pray for you. I just want to simply pray that in whatever capacity God is using you as a servant or calling you to as a servant, that you're going to just be able to step into it and get in that flow. So, Lord, I declare right now in Jesus' name, oh, you see every heart in here, you know every person in here. And I just declare right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, we want to be your servants. We're tired of being caught up in the rat race of just trying to earn income and thinking about problems. And we just turn it to you right now. Jesus, we're your servants. We'll do what you want us to do. We'll walk through the open doors that you give us, and Lord, we ourselves will close no doors, nor will we get the pry bar out and try to open up doors. But we declare this morning, Lord, that we want to be your servants. We want to walk in your kingdom and in your principles. We want to do what you want us to do. We're believing you, Lord God, that as we're servants, you're going to prosper us. And as we get in this flow, you're going to prosper us. You're going to prosper us. And we're going to continue to advance the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. Lord, I just declare it right now, even before the new year, that 2013 is going to be the greatest years of Living Waters Church and the greatest years of the Waterhole. I declare we have more finances come in than we've ever had come in before. I declare we'll have more millionaires birthed in this church than we've ever had before. I declare, Lord God, there'll be more record sales, more record blessings come upon this church so we can reach orphans and rescue them and preach the gospel and teach people to apply the Word of God to their life around this world, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We set our hearts today to say, Lord, here we are. Here we are, Lord. Just use us. Just use us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Now turn to the person beside you and say, man, I feel it. I am going to be a servant. I want to go ahead and give you one more opportunity. Can I have my prayer team come down? Can I just a prayer team or pastoral team? Just a few people down up here up front to pray. Church, listen to me. If you do need prayer, we're down here for you.